Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, titled, Slow to Wrath. This is Pastor Greg, and I invite you to open your King James Bible, if you're able, and follow along. But we also know that a good number of our listeners follow along as they drive or are on the job or even working around the house. So regardless of what you're doing, we're glad you are tuning in for the teaching of God's Word. And if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to us by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also mail your message using the U.S. Postal Service. You can send that message along with any check or money order contributions to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with a current events update and then on to our study in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, titled Slow to Wrath. This is part 1 of 2.
Once again, the current events update. COVID, I believe, is going to be proven to be an intentional leak by a China lab. And as back when Donald Trump said it, that's the only reason they didn't want to investigate it or anything is because Donald Trump said it. And that tells you something wrong with somebody. Because listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm just being honest. I can't stand Joe Biden. I think he's an evil, wicked, reprobate. But if he says something that's true, or if this kind of thing happened and he said that he thought it was, I would be saying, investigate it. You know, I wouldn't be saying just because Joe Biden said it, we shouldn't investigate it. But that's how the left wingers and liberals and progressives deal with this stuff. And he is trying to block the investigation. That's what he's doing right now. He's using his executive powers I just think that's a great haircut for him. But this is from Newsmax. We can go out and find this all over the news that the Biden administration has halted the probe linking the lab leak to COVID-19. And this came out today on Newsmax. But the facts are coming out. And a lot of the mainstream news media is reporting it, and this is a story from Fox News, but I saw this in several places. Mainstream media flip-flops on COVID lab leak theory now that Biden is president. And what they're seeing is more and more of the news media, after not being journalists for more than 4 years and being nothing but Democrat Party operatives, the fake journalists are actually trying to be journalists. They're kind of getting bored with the activism thing, and they want to do something. Yeah, and that, you know, that's, they're free from that burden. And here's Breitbart headline: Establishment media began backtracking on coronavirus origin, questioning if Trump was right. Of course, they don't want Trump's name brought up, and so the news media still cannot report it honestly. And here's an example of how a non-liberal neocon sympathizer would report it. The headline says, I was right very early on. Trump pats himself on the back as liberal media flip-flops on COVID Wuhan leak theory, as he says it was obvious from the beginning. So these are the Republicans in name only types, or some of these are libertarians, but a lot of them are independent types. Bill Kristol, Jeb Bush, you know, Mitt Romney, those type of Republicans in name only. And so that's how they're reporting it. And the bottom line is we live in a culture of lies. And so the main point of our current events update is to help you keep a straight head about these things and not lose track of the reality that we live in a culture of lies. And it's amazing. I have given people information that they can go out and they can do their own check on to see if it's true or not. And they don't even want to look at it. I don't mean on just this subject. I mean on you name the subject. And they won't even look. On the flip side, I have people come to me trying to prove to me the King James Bible has errors. And I look at it every time. And I found them to be wrong every time. And then when I turn around to tell them why I believe they're wrong, they won't look at it. And I've had people tell me that there's, you know, the Bible manuscripts aren't really trustworthy. Well, I've studied that enough that I don't even have to go look at it. And I can tell them exactly why that's false. The Bible is the most well-attested ancient document in human possession. And the things they teach in school about Caesar and Socrates and Aristotle and Plato and all that stuff, Herodotus, all that stuff, doesn't have anywhere near the ancient documentation that your Bible does. And so on and so forth. But we live in a culture of lies, so everybody runs around saying, oh, the Bible has errors. The Bible's been translated so many times and they've added things. And not true about the King James Bible. All right, a quick headline review as the stage for Antichrist is being set. It's just amazing what we're seeing as the system for a digital currency, cashless society, as we've always referred to it. The whole infrastructure to be able to track every transaction you make, and tracking not only your transactions, but your everything you do. And that's this whole vaccine passport thing is being blocked here in America to a large extent, but around the world they're implementing it. And that's all that and more, the global government, the one world government, you know, setting a stage for the Antichrist. But this is just some of the headlines. Space isn't just a distraction. It could be our salvation. Amen. And that's, you know, those movies you see where man is destroying the earth and here come the wonderful aliens to save us. And a lot of people really are looking for that. And a lot of the people I've listened to interviews and watched documentaries about the search SETI, you remember that? And all the search for extraterrestrial life and the search for planets that are habitable. And I'm very interested in the universe. The Bible tells us that we're witnessing the handiwork of God and the wonders of His creation. But they're looking for salvation. They won't turn to Jesus, but they'll turn to E.T. And that's the attitude preparing the world for the Revelation 12 alien invasion. You know, if you, I'll get to you at the end of it there, Mark. But the Revelation 12, we taught, and then years ago we did a study on it, the tribulation alien invasion. And people misunderstand what I'm saying about that, but that's going to be an example that we could use in our study tonight. You don't judge a book by the cover. Every people run around telling it, well, Miller thinks that we're going to have an alien invasion. He actually believes in aliens, you know. Like, I do, but I don't believe they're extraterrestrial beings from another planet. They're fallen angels. Yeah. But see, the point is that the world's going to think they're aliens and they're fallen angels. See, this is another CNET article. Facial recognition, your face is your password. Well, then the next step is not facial recognition, but the mark. You know, I just think that's a step in that direction. Then you have a whole section on CNET to prepare for various interpretations of what they call the apocalypse, hacking the apocalypse, teaching you survival techniques for the apocalypse. Now, not everybody on there believes the biblical apocalypse is going to happen, obviously, but it's awful funny, you know, that they don't even realize that they are going to need that information here pretty soon. And if that weren't strange enough, robot dog owners love more than just not cleaning up poop. Did you know that's a thing? People are getting into this. I picked this one, but there's also a thing about the, I'll just say it and then we'll move on, sex dolls. They're actually setting up, and out in Las Vegas right now, they have a place where people are paying, just like you would at a brothel, for an hour or two with a doll. And they're getting robot dogs. And it basically is like Alexa. Is it called Alexa? And there's a Google one.
Siri.
Siri and Microsoft Windows as Corona. It's not Corona.
Cora? No.
Starts with a C.
Cortana.
Yeah. Noah and her are close. You know. No, but, you know, we know people who use Alexa, I think, because, you know, it's not the mark of the beast. It's not a sin to use it. But the point is, though, even as you use these things, you can see how it's all getting right in line. All right, James 1, 19 to 20. Slow to wrath. James 1, 19 to 20. Give you a second to get there, and then we'll read it together. And picking up verse by verse, we covered verse 18 in 2 weeks. We're going to try to cover 2 verses in 1 week, one study. So let's go ahead and read verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen to that?
Amen.
And let's begin by recognizing the corrupt, watered-down baby Bibles. I call them that for a reason. Everybody I talk to, their excuse for using a perverted Bible is because it's easier to read. And all I hear is, you know, because I'm thinking, a lot of times these people are college graduates who are telling me this. And like we've talked about, they can play the video games, and some of them are programmers. I'm sure in your world you run across these people who can program. They know a language that's just been made up in the last 10, 15 years. You know, I've talked to Trekkies who know Klingon.
Yeah.
And then tell me the King James is too hard to understand. Think about that. This is what the NIV and the other ones do to this. It may not seem like a big deal. Folks, if you got a Bible, you should want what God said. You don't want someone to take it upon themselves to say, you know, God, you really should have worded it this way. And there's some of that, you know, in translation, going from Hebrew and Greek into English, you can't word it exactly. The word order's out, you know, and Hebrew is right to left. I mean, so there's some differences, but you can give what is called formal equivalency translation, where you give a very close and accurate translation, and you don't go off the farm any more than you have to. Most of these translations you're getting today are what is called dynamic equivalency, which is a fancy word for really just deciding to add whatever you want to because you think it needs a little help.
It's what I think it means.
Yeah. And it's more of an interpretation than a translation. See, the idea of Bible, to give you a Bible, you want God's Word translated into your language, and then the Holy Spirit helps you interpret it. But what they want to do is interpret it and then give you their interpretation. Now look what it says. My dear brothers and sisters. Now your Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren. Doesn't say anything about sisters, does it?
No.
Take note of this. Everyone should. This says, let every man. Not everyone. Now, you could make an argument that if it's just something I wrote and you're my English teacher and you can say, you know, you could just be a little more broad and include the sisters and just say everyone instead of every man. Fine. My writings are not God's words. My writings are not inspired of God. But when you have God's Word and then you read that, it's simply not what God's Word says. And I don't care what your opinion is, I do not believe in changing God's Word because you think we need to be more inclusive or whatever. For those appealing to the Greek, if you get out any Greek text, this at the top is what the King James came from, the Stevens 1550. And the word translated brethren is adelphos. It's the word for brethren. It's similar to the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Fidela, that whole Delphi. See how that works? It's a lot of the words in Greek you can recognize because they're used similarly in our language. Again, down at the bottom where it says man, anthropos. Now, did you take any courses or anything related to anthropology for accounting? But a lot of kids will because, you know, you have electives and things, and they'll take anthropology. What's anthropology? It's the study of man, because the word means man. Now, that on the bottom, I gave you what's called the Society of Biblical Literature text, SBL. I couldn't give you the UBS text because they're so concerned with getting their Bible out to the world that it's copywritten and you're not allowed to put it on the Internet. That's what the new versions are about. All about the money. Every publishing company has to get their own translation with enough changes so they can get a copyright, and then they can own the copyright and force you to pay to use it. And back when I first got saved, it was maybe I'd say for a few years, but not very long, a whole shipload of Japanese Bibles. And what they'd done is they'd taken the NIV and translated it into Japanese. And the owner of the NIV stopped the ship and made it go back, because they had been made copies. They were going to give the Bibles away. They weren't selling them. But they had made them without the permission of the copyright owner. And they, listen, you can take King James Bible and get a Xerox machine or mail it off to a printer and they will print you copies, and you, no one will say a word to you, because it's not owned by anybody but God. So you can see in that text, adelphoi and anthropos. Same words as in any Greek text, don't matter which one you use. They say brethren and man, not brothers and sisters and not everyone. So, and this is not about sexism. It's about accurately translating God's Word. If they can change those words, then you better believe they changed over 30,000. 30,000 changes in the English Bible between the King James and these new versions. John?
I just wanted to mention on that previous slide there, it looks like one of the words is actually spelled differently. The Greek word.
But it's still the same. There's adelphos and adelphoi. Okay. It's just this different ending on it because of the part of speech. Yeah, Doug?
I talked to a lady today over there in the Alden's parking lot, and she said that I don't believe in the King James only because I've studied this, the Greek and the Hebrew, and there's so many things that's wrong and stuff like that. He's talking like that to me. I said,
it's called hot air. If you have your Greek or Hebrew Bible handed to her, she couldn't read a lick of it to you. I guarantee you. These people talk like they're liars. They don't know what they're talking about. And if you hand them a Greek or Hebrew Bible, they couldn't tell you anything it says. And all she did, every time I talk to those people, they read something written by somebody. And then they tell everybody, yes, I've studied the Hebrew and Greek text, and I know what. They're just, it's a culture of lies.
Yeah, I just told her that I agree to disagree.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, all you can do is tell them the truth, and then, you know, most people will not receive it. So we will not change God's Word to fit our opinions. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore we read, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. And the exact opposite of the attitude most believers, I guess this lady was a professing Christian, but she wasn't swift to hear. She wouldn't listen to a word you're saying. And that's how people are. And, you know, I've studied the issue and into the hundreds of hours in 30 years. I've read every major and many non-major books about the issue. And I have sat under teachers like Robert Gromacki for a few months down in, he's from Cedarville College. He was a professor of Greek and Bible at Cedarville. And I have watched lectures. Jenny's had the pleasure of sitting through some. And they're like watching paint dry, unless you really are into the issue. But I just tell you, you'll have to take my word for it, unless you're going to jump in there and do all that study, that if you hand them a Hebrew and Greek Bible, they can't read it. They do not know Hebrew. They do not know Greek. And I can tell you, if you just from memory, the last 20 or so people who have come to me on this issue, and I'm not doing it to be mean, I just put the issue out there, and they don't know what they're talking about. And I demonstrate it to them.
That's why I use the Strong's Concordance view. That's as far as I go.
Yeah, and that's how far they go, too, if they're honest, as far as their knowledge. So Scripture is Scripture. Look over to Ecclesiastes. We're thinking of being slow to speak. Ecclesiastes. People wondered why. You know, I had a pretty good idea about my position on it, but I didn't really take a real strong stand until about the time I married Jenny. And even then, I tightened it up even more within a year or two after we got married, because I was being slow to speak. I was trying to learn and make sure I knew what I knew. You know, if you don't know, you just shouldn't act like you do. And I was learning that from the Bible. This message we hear tonight. Look at Ecclesiastes there. I said chapter 5, as I say. I better listen to my own. 5:1-2. Now, by the way, I was just talking about this. Sometimes when I'm prepping and getting my notes and slides and everything, and I'll talk to Jenny about it and bounce things off her, and she read this to me as I was talking about it. Go ahead and read both verses. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. And that should hit us all. You know, I tell people we take questions and things as much as we can, and especially here on Wednesday night, we're a little more open to that. And I try to, you know, I'm not being mean, I'm being a pastor. If you say something toward me, and everyone's hearing it, and it's not right, then I have to point that out. So one thing I've always done, and I encourage you to do, is ask. You know, unless you something you know, then fine. I mean, don't be afraid to state something or just, you know, share something. But if there's something that you're bringing up, that especially if you got kind of a sense that what you're about to say is going to contradict what we've taught or what we believe, then ask. That way you're not doing what this text is warning us against. You should be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What that means is if you say something as though it's true and it's not, that's when you feel foolish. You know, and sometimes there have been people, I won't name names, they're not here anymore. We had a couple of people that just wanted to blurt out things and it was just nonsense. And so I'd go to them after and I try to encourage them to, you know, ask. And if it's something you know it's, you know, going to be discordant, write it down and come to me afterwards and we'll talk about it. But I say this from time to time, if you will read your Bible every day and follow along in our studies, then I guarantee you that unless you have some kind of mental issue or, you know, medication that keeps you from being able to retain information or something like that, but if you're in a decent frame of mind and able to learn, you will learn. But if you won't read your Bible, and then you're either sporadic or not really paying attention when whoever's up here teaching, you're not going to learn. It's that simple. And so we go back to James, and verse 19, we add these words at the end of what we just read. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. That's what really we were reading there in Ecclesiastes. Be swift to hear and then slow to speak goes hand in hand with it. And if you only knew how many times this and other such texts have kept me quiet. I mean, I've sat in rooms with people just going on, and they are just, and I know the things they're saying are baseless or questionable or whatever, but especially if it's something that I can't handily refute, you know, I just kind of let it go. That happened to me many times earlier in my Christian life, and I'd be in a room and someone saying